Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoy this message by Kathy Teal. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
A long time ago, a few states away, when my brother and I were quite young, we shared a bedroom in our childhood home. My brother Ben was a great roommate. He had cool toys and was a wonderful playmate. We both enjoyed playing board games and card games together. We threw stuffed animals at each other and collapsed in giggles quite often. Our relationship grew over the years into deep respect and admiration for each other. We are there for each other, and we have each other's back. All of the good and sweet parts of our childhood went into making our relationship strong. And yet there were also parts that were not as much fun as laughing and playing. There were fights and arguments. There were times when teasing went too far. These times also played a part in helping us build our relationship. My memories always land on the happy parts, but I cannot ignore that there were times when my brother and I were not so fond of each other. We learned from these times. They helped us grow into whole people, and acknowledging them makes our relationship real. And throughout it all throughout our lives, love prevails. Love is present. Love imbues our laughter, expands our joy. Love is stronger than any word we ever spoke in anger. Love is where I land when I think of my brother. Love is where David landed when he sat down to write what we know as the 23rd Psalm. This psalm is a reflection of the ways David experienced God. It is a metaphor for all God gives. On the day he wrote it, David was so overcome by love that he had to express it. If we listen, we can hear the words of someone so over the top in love with God, so excited by this love that he cannot contain himself. He begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." David feels well cared for by God. He knows that God is concerned with his safety and well-being. God is a shepherd to David, protecting him, feeding him, and watching over him. God meets David's every need. I shall not want. What a statement. David does not have any need that God cannot fulfill, and God has given David all that David needs. God has taken everything into consideration. David writes that God makes him lie down in green pastures and leads him beside still waters. Idyllic. Paradise. God restores David's soul. Restoration is the return of something to its original condition. So in other words, by loving David, God gives back to David his very essence, his soul. David is returned to his original condition, which is love. Love is who we are. We are born in love and we die in love. God leads David in the paths of God's righteousness, in the name of truth and beauty and love. In everything, look for the true love of God We cannot always see it, but it is always there. It is always here. Look for it, and when you find it, embrace it, enjoy it, and make it your life. Let it be your partner in the dance of joyful exuberance. And know that even if your path winds through darkness, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are not alone. I fear no evil, for thou art with me. You are never alone. God does not abandon us, even on our worst days. Your rod and thy your staff, they comfort me. In other words, I know you have my back. I am safe with you. These first few lines of this psalm paint the picture of a relationship that sustains, supports, and uplifts. A relationship that gives life. A relationship that brings joy to David and makes his heart full. It is from this place of security, of feeling at peace with the world and knowing he is loved by God, that David continues this love song. You prepare a table before me. Have you ever come home or walked into someone's home after a long day to find that a dinner has been prepared just for you? All of your favorite foods are on the table, and the table is set with candlesticks and fresh flowers, real cloth napkins, and a matching tablecloth. You feel special, cared for, pampered, seen. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Wait. My enemies? Are you kidding me? This has got to be wrong. Why would I want to sit at a table with my enemies? And why did you invite them? I thought you loved me. Go back for a minute to that feeling of delight, surprise, contentment, and joy when you first walk in the door and see the beautiful table set for you by one who knows you, by one who wants you to live your best life, one who has got your back. Look at this bountiful table and look around it and see every one of your enemies. Do you want to sit down? Or do you want to run? Do you want to attack your enemies and reject this table? It's hard to think about sitting down at this table. We tend to want to fight or erase our enemies. It's easy to recognize them, but difficult to actually be in their presence. And yet here is an invitation to do so. Here in this beloved psalm, written by one of the biggest characters in the Bible and in our history, God prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. What do we do? We can run from the table and refuse the invitation to sit down, and that's okay. God still loves you, and we still love you. You can also sit down, knowing that as you sit, God sits with you to support you. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It takes a lot of courage to confront an enemy. And as we know, enemies come in all shapes and sizes. I was thinking about this a lot this week, and so I looked up the true definition of enemy. A lot is listed in the dictionary, but this is the part I liked the best. An enemy is a thing that harms or weakens something else. A thing that harms or weakens something else. Your enemy could be a person, someone in your life who has done or is currently doing something hurtful. It could be someone you have never met, a person you hear about in the news who is weakening others by their behavior. But I like this definition so much. An enemy is a thing that harms or weakens something else, because it recognizes that an enemy is not always a person. Sometimes an enemy is a way of thinking, believing, or acting. An enemy could be addiction, obsession, self-doubt, or abuse. Anything that keeps us from a full life. Anything that harms or weakens. Maybe you are in the process now of working things out with whatever harms or weakens you, be it tangible or intangible, seen or unseen. Maybe you are just beginning to realize that things can be different if you look at all parts of your life, including the parts that cause harm. God invites us to sit down and examine what harms and weakens, to figure out why, to adjust, to heal, and to move on. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Not easy to sit there, but worth it. Sometimes an enemy presents itself in the form of something within us, something we need to take out and examine. Doing this is hard work, it's personal work, and it's work that will make us stronger. And when we are stronger, the world is stronger. Paying attention to the challenges is important work, and it is not easy, and we all need help with it. An objective companion on our journey to aid us in discernment. Therapist, counselor, pastor, someone to help you face the things that trouble you, someone to be there with you as you sit down at that table. For some, facing the enemy is like facing the truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Sometimes it is the truth that is most scary to us. But as Jesus said, facing it will set you free. Ignoring it will keep you captive. Face your fears. Learn from your enemies and let them inform you. Do not ignore them. They rarely go away until you take them out and look at them. Jesus never said it would be easy, but he did say, "The greatest commandment is this, to love God with all your heart and soul and mind, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself." Love yourself enough to face all the parts of your life, the good, the bad, the ugly. My cup runneth over. Hear the call to celebration in these words of David. God fills our every lonely space, our every empty place. God above, God below, God within, and God all around. David finishes the song with a statement. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, everywhere." Think of this for what you know of David and his behavior. Sometimes it was exemplary, and sometimes it was very much not exemplary. And yet there was God's goodness, and there was God's mercy. Not always in David's actions, but always in David. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There is a lot to take in this short psalm, and even more if you continue to read it, pray with it, and listen to how God speaks to you through it. The reason we still read it and think about it, discuss it and preach about it, is because we can apply it to our lives as we grow and mature in situations and in our relationship with God and our relationships with each other. These relationships are intertwined, they are synergistic. When we have a good relationship with ourselves, when we know ourselves well enough to be honest about our strengths and our weaknesses, then we are able to have that kind of relationship with others. Honest and strong. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. When we have a good, solid relationship with God, then we are more likely to have a good, solid relationship with others and with ourselves, heart, mind, and soul. And the one thing that holds it all together, that weaves itself in and among our lives, that which keeps us connected, that which gives us faith in times of doubt, courage in times of challenge, that one thing that is always with us, can never die, that which is stronger than everything, even death, love. Love is stronger than everything. And love is here, and love is there. Love is with you, and love is in the space between us, always. We use love to make sense of this world. Love is what gives life to everything that matters. Love is. A long time ago, a few states away, when my brother and I were quite young and shared a bedroom in our childhood home, we laughed and played together. A longer time ago, David sat down to write a love song to God about the blessings of his life. God was there in the childhood home, and God was there in the green pastures and the still waters. Recognize and embrace these times in your life which feed you, and let them give you the strength to sit down at whatever table is prepared for you. The good news is that God sits with you, and God loves you, always and forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.